Well, see, with this podcast, now we come to Daniel Farker, whose wisdom was like a drill, boring into the rock of injustice. Boring, boring, boring. It's been a while since I've had a Simpsons quote I could go for. Welcome to episode 269 of Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Now then.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Decent trip.
Yeah, good trip. Successful trip. Went away, ate, Leeds didn't lose. It all came together.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for, really, because last time I went to the exact place you... Well, not exact place, but the exact island that you went to, Leeds lost away at Charlton, and our goalkeeper got banned for being a racist.
Hooray!
So, yeah, Norwich nil, Leeds nil. Fair to say we'd have both taken that before kickoff?
Yeah. You can't... I mean, I know, obviously, we are off the back of our last dalliance with the playoff being the first team to have won an away leg and somehow fucked it up. Mm. But all things considered, with our form and the way the playoffs work generally, you can't be upset at a draw away from home.
No, and even a 0-0 one, because they've binned off away goals, haven't they, now? So
yeah, and I think just looking at our defensive record since the international break, it's very good for us to keep a clean sheet. I know I wouldn't say we had a couple of scares. There was a couple of bewildering moments at the back.
Yeah, I would literally say that Josh Sargent header was a chance. I can't think of any others they had.
No. They had a couple of free kicks, that one that they curled low around the side of the wall, and the one that hit the wall.
Yeah. What
a tie it was. What an advert for the playoffs it was.
I only watched like the last 15 minutes of West Brom Southampton, but by all accounts, that was better than our game, but that wasn't good either.
I think I text Alex Bedison. It's similar to the opening round of World Cup fixtures. I think a lot of teams now set up don't lose this game. Yeah. Even if you're the home team, I think in the first leg, I think quite a few teams are now a bit more risk averse and just, no, get it to the second leg, make sure you're still competitive in that game.
Yeah. We've had a question here, and this is something that I would have brought up later, not specifically in these terms, but I may as well do it now because it's fair. Andy Rose messaged us just saying, is Rutter a luxury? Plays nearly a full game for 20 seconds of brilliance if we're lucky. I'd say that when you're lucky, you get half an hour of brilliance and it wins you the game. He was our poorest player in this game, though. Like I never make a secret of the fact he's my favourite player. I love watching him, but yeah, he was really poor in this game.
I mean, we texted each other, didn't we? I think we were both thinking, "Oh, it's a bit Blackwell this to all of a sudden now you switch to the 4-3-3." Gray pushed forward a bit more, but yeah. I think it was more him and Kamara in the middle with Gruyff barely leaving his own half.
Yeah. He didn't really change the formation as much as it looked like on paper before the game, but
yeah, I think it was the same system, more sensible.
Yeah, because like Gray was leading the press at some points. Like Rutter still ended up at 10, and Gray ended up at 9. For only some very not like loads of times, but enough times that I noticed it.
There was a point where I think he was about 10, like we. I think we just cleared the ball long into their half. They picked it up, and Gray is the guy that's there sort of pointing behind him, like telling people to come up. And he's probably about 10 yards away from the ball. Are you there going like, seriously, where is everyone?
Yeah.
Like, Willie, Crescencia, one of you, anyone?
Yeah. The other thing I'd say for Rutter, and the reason why I think luxury would be a harsh way to describe it, is because he's actually really quite good off the ball. Like, he does chase everything down. He tackles quite well. And when he doesn't tackle well, it tends to be that he gives away free kicks rather than letting his man go, which is probably the better option of the two. I always think, especially at this level, I think his upside massively outweighs his downside. So I think he's worth it. There's been a lot of calls this week, people saying to drop him. And I definitely wouldn't. When he's having a bad game, I've no problem with him being subbed, which happened in this one. But I do wonder if it might be a bit different in the second leg, because I wonder if we are going to go back to the more aggressive version of the formation with Rutter at 10 or not.
Would you want to see that now, having seen that Norwich performance back, which I know wasn't entertaining, but given I do not give a shit how entertaining we are now if we win the playoffs.
I honestly was thinking it was the last thing that I thought about before we joined this call. And the truth is, I honest to God don't know. My natural instinct is that I think Norwich will sit back more in the second leg. They've got a shite away record. I think that they'll sit a bit. So I think it's probably worth playing the more aggressive version of the formation. And then if you get a goal, once you get to the hour mark, you can go back to, you can maybe move Gray into 10 and go back to this version. But I can absolutely see the argument for both.
I think I'm in the camp of keep it as it was on Sunday, purely because I think, yes, that they will probably sit deep, but there will come a time when they have to go for it in this game. Mm. And I just thought we'd looked so much better than we had done for weeks. You know,
the switch was definitely better.
There was no gaping chasms in the middle of midfield all of a sudden. Like you say, you've got Gray, who's doing a very good job of playing as like a box-to-box 10, the ground he covers. And it's that thing of going back to Jorginho, of like, well, if you take him out, who do you play and how does it affect the system? Because I just think if you did a direct swap for him and Pirro, I don't think it works as well.
No, I think you're right. And Andy has followed up saying, I'm concerned with the Fark setup. We could end up with 210 minutes of stalemate and then get beat on penalties. I have had that thought, I must admit.
It's one of the few things we haven't really suffered is playoff penalty heartbreak. And it sounds horrendous.
Yeah.
So I would very much rather not go down that line.
I'm fairly sure I'm right about this. And I think that I read it on Dalton's Twitter. So I think if that's where I read it, it will be right. Leeds have never won a home game in the playoffs.
Oh, God.
Because I'll be honest, I know that we didn't win, but I don't remember how it went in 87.
I was going to say, yeah, lost to Carlisle.
But we lost to Millwall in the League One ones.
Lost to Derby, drew with Preston.
Yeah, we drew with Preston v Eddie Lewis, free kick.
Oh my gosh.
And when we beat Carlisle, we won the away leg.
Yeah, Dougie Freeman got a late goal to make it 2-1.
2-1 to them.
Yeah. Oh, God. Why? I didn't need to know this, if I'm being honest.
Weirdly, we've never won a home game in the playoffs. I prefer that to we've won every home game in the playoffs in terms of my confidence. We've mentioned the Sargent header, which was their real chance. Leeds, Somerville had a decent effort saved on his left foot, and Jordan Anthony had one from edge at box, but he didn't actually get closed down. He'll think he should have done better with, because he put it straight at the keeper. Leeds' two probably best chances were there was a really good pullback for Byron, which he just about airshot. And there was a really good ball across from Nanto to Rutter that he absolutely did airshot.
Yeah, the first time I saw the Jorginho one, I think my response was, that's a brilliant challenge.
And then you watch
back and, oh no, he's just missed it. Yeah. My bad. All right then. Classic Georgie.
And then, I mean, we try, you know, the only other two things to talk about, really. First of all, the one that I think is is harder to argue, mostly because we haven't had access to the camera angle that Daniel Farker apparently has. Firpo's disallowed goal. Because, like, obviously, he never touches the ball, but Rutter absolutely is interfering. 100%. That's the only reason he has to make the tackle that knocks it past the keeper. From the TV camera, it looks like he's just off. But apparently, like, you know, that they have the tactical cam that's from higher up and a lot straighter. Yeah. Apparently, there's a lot going around that he was actually level. But I didn't even get annoyed when I read that. I just went, well, it's fine. I'd rather this than VAR.
Yeah, that is very much where I am at this point. I know Farker has his little comments.
He had a bit of a moan, didn't he?
Yeah. he didn't have a moan. He just wanted to get it on the record.
Yeah, I've got like 14 letters.
Yeah.
Shit decisions.
I know this is a 10. Why send a letter? Like, why? Just
send an email.
I wasn't even thinking that. I was just thinking, what? Game's gone, mate. Move on. With that one, it was very close. And it's one of those where I don't know if you did you watch the Real Madrid Bayern Munich game?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
The late offside that was given in there for all the times when VAR is like, no, we are going to let this completely pointless bit of play out and see where it goes before we put the flag up. Then there's that cross into the box where the linesman's flag goes up immediately.
Mm.
Oh, and it's close. And it's one of those where if you had VAR, you'd be there going, why have you done that? But in this situation, fair. It's a ball into, you know, through the penalty, on the edge of the penalty area. It's close to goal, so yeah, you want a quick reaction from the linesman.
Yeah, and I think the other reason I'm not annoyed at it is because my gut reaction in real time was offside. So like, I never got excited for it really, because I straight away my first thought was that I thought it was offside. I actually thought it was further offside than he either was. I thought that it was quite clear, and then I saw the replay and it really wasn't. But the more annoying one to talk about is the penalty appeal for the tackle on Nonto. Because this is the one where this is not to do with VAR. This is abysmal refereeing.
The fact that no foul was given whatsoever was astonishing. I could fully understand if the referee gives that as a free kick, because I think that it very much starts outside the penalty area. And if the referee looked at that and went, it's a bit early in the game to be giving a penalty, I think you could get away with giving a free kick. I disagree with it, but...
Yeah, that's what I expected to happen, because normally in situations like that, especially early in a game, the referee gives the quote-unquote easy decision. The easy decision was, yeah, that's a foul, but it was tight, whether it was in the box or not, I'll give it outside. Not giving a foul at all is baffling.
And again, it's on the side that the linesman's on, which really begs the question, what is the point of a linesman apart from to give throw-ins?
Yeah, which the referee normally gives anyway.
Yeah. it's one of those with Nonto. Nonto does really well with it. Good turn back inside. And he gets in that situation where the defender's got his arm across him and he's just pushing him so much he's turning the defender around by his outstretched arm. I think it was Don Goodman on the commentary for this one, who initially proclaimed it as an excellent challenge. And then on replay went, actually, I don't think he's won that one, actually. What do you mean you don't think? Like, clearly, you just have to watch it once.
He had another one, I think it was late in the first half, where he went, well, and the referee's given a free kick for some reason there. And then it showed the replay and he went, oh, that's the reason. Because he's fucking kicked him up in the air. It was a bit of a odd one. Obviously, that decision is very frustrating, but truth is, 0-0 was about right.
Yeah, I think they, first half, they were better with the ball than we were. I think they pressed us quite smartly. You know, the chances that they had were of our own doing. You know, specifically, you kind of think of the free kick that was given away because Meslier plays that dreadful pass into Gruev, who's just got nowhere to go, yeah. and it's also a very heavy pass. And it's in those sorts of situations you just kind of look and go and look. Just, and I know, I don't want to get very Moneyball on this, where, you know, the outside world is going, right, you can all do all your own little tricks, but in the playoffs it's a different kettle of fish. You just like, maybe just put it long though in the first leg.
Yeah. The Meslier passing, obviously there was some really dodgy ones, but like in the end he was fine and he wasn't really tested. It was a team full of 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which is just solid. Like Meslier was probably about a 6, he did fine. The back four I thought were all fine. Like Rudden and Ampadu were both really solid. I thought Firpo was pretty good, to be honest. Byron got on the ball a lot in build up, but he was, even by his standards, he was turning back and being negative quite a lot. That was one of the things that I thought was a bit interesting. We obviously favour the left massively in build-up, but not in this game.
No, Nonto saw a lot more of the ball in this one, which is, I wonder if that's a deliberate thing of Somerville is going to get marks out of this one, or he's going to be watched a lot more closely. Let's focus on the right-hand side and then hope that later on in the game it eases up some of the pressure on him. But I thought Nonto looked good for it. I thought he looked very lively whenever he got the ball at his feet. The only thing with Nonto, and it's kind of been coming these last few weeks, is once he picked up that yellow card for sarcastically applauding the referee.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah,
I've done that, but don't do that.
You just there going, if you get sent off in this game now, and that's the yellow card, that's the first yellow card of it. It's inexcusable, is that? Now, as it goes,
it worked, because I thought in the second half, the referee was a lot nicer at Leeds than he was in the first.
Yeah.
So I think it did sort of get in his head.
I mean, I was very. I don't know whether watching it, you know, if you're thinking about it now, whether it is a case of did Norwich deliberately drop back in the second half, or did we gain a better foothold in the second half? Because they...
As always, with stuff like that, it's probably a bit of both. But watching it, I thought that it was us getting more control of the ball.
Because you looked, and very rarely did they get out of their half in the second half. They got organised fairly quickly, and kind of the typical thing we've come up against this season is, you know, it's got a bank of four and a bank of five, and I think Sargent was left up there for a while, and then, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, if he could be injured on Thursday, that would be great.
The early news straight after the game, well, the last news I've seen, because I did search it, was that they were expecting him to be available. Has been nailed on yet.
Also did have it confirmed by an Norwich fan that it is the son of Pierre Van Hooijdonk who replaced him.
Yeah, they did mention it on commentary after.
Yeah. He's a big lad. He'll score a header from a corner.
Yeah.
In the 89th minute and ruin everything. It was frustrating when you had those couple of chances with Georgie and Sam Byram. But I think come the end of the game, you were there going, well, neither keeper has really had to do anything here.
Yeah. I suppose that's it. But you get nil-nil, and it is a very nil-nil game. As for your side, you have to be pleased with it. I thought the midfield was fine. Like the Leeds man of the match, based on the Twitter vote, was Glenn Kamara, which I think is fair. But it was tight for all of them, so I don't think there was a particular standout. I suppose that just brings us on to the next leg. And we've said about the potential for changing it. Is there any other than Gray out forward in and they go to the other formation, the original. Is there any other, because we've already talked about that one a little bit, is there any other changes that you can see happening?
No, not really. Like you say, everyone was fine. And unless it's an outside chance of Connor Roberts comes in at right back.
Yeah, I was just, that was the one I was thinking. One, because he's a little bit more aggressive getting forward than Byron. But two, it's Byron playing twice in 4 days.
Yeah.
And you do wonder what his fitness level will be like.
I
suppose if Byron is struggling, that might be the thing that makes Farker's mind up. And he goes, well, I'll move Gray there.
Yeah.
Into the more standard setup that we have.
I just think for me, I think once you've had a performance like that, that's been admittedly not great from an attacking perspective, has been our best performance, barring maybe the Middlesbrough game. But even then, there were some defensive frailties on show. I'll call it our most settled performance. It's probably a good way to put it. Why you would return to a system and a lineup that wasn't working.
Yeah. And while there's no guarantees that it'll be another clean sheet, if you think you're in a pretty good position to keep a clean sheet when you're in knockout ties, it's hard to argue against it.
Yeah, and you look at the idea that, yeah, we've got later in the game, should it come to it, you've got James, Anthony, Piru, and Joseph who can all come on later in the game. If you're in control of a tie when players are more tired. You know, I think that would be the case for those players, would be they come on after an hour or so if you've got control of the game, like, right, now let's turn the screw a little bit here. And then for me, yeah, either Byron goes to the bench and Robert starts, and then you've got Byron, you've probably got Shackleton there if needs be for your backup options at right back. So you do have options there. But I think as much as possible, yeah, keep this shape and this lineup as close to it as you can.
Yeah, the more that you've talked about it, the more I think you're probably right. I think that is what he'll do. I don't think there's been people going, get Joseph onto lead line properly. It won't happen. It'll be better if we're playing that formation. If it isn't working, then you'll get Peru. If it isn't working and we're losing, then you'll get both.
I mean, I just think as well, you've had, obviously, you had the fan reaction after the Southampton game of the people who'd stayed behind giving a really good reception, the away crowd giving a fantastic reception on Sunday after the game. And there is part of me just thinks, if you've got people rocking up for a big game like this and everyone's walking into the stadium going, I started Peru and Nonto again. Peru and Rutter again. And you're there going, oh, okay. And I think it just puts a bit of doubt in people. And I know that, like, I know from kickoff, the atmosphere will be great. I think everyone will be up for it. But if it doesn't work with those two early on again, I think people start to think, like, why have we gone back to this?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to going on Thursday. I think the atmosphere will be great. It's just we've been burned before. I have a feeling I'm going to feel physically sick at that game.
Oh. I mean, for me, yeah, I finish work at 7 that evening, so it'll be a case of finish and go somewhere for the game.
Yeah.
I might go home, I might go to a pub, I don't know.
Yeah.
I might just park the car in a quiet place and curl up in a ball. Oh, who knows?
Yeah. As for Norwich, apparently Barnes will still be struggling. but they reckon Sargent will be fit, so I think they'll probably be unchanged as well. Maybe McCallum will play left back instead of Giannoulis, but Giannoulis did pretty well, so I think it'll be very similar. The setup, I could see it being almost the same game for the first half.
Yeah, I can very much see it coming out after half time of like, right, now one of us has got to go try and win this.
Yeah.
And then the game opens up a bit more. I mean, I look at our team for situations like that, and I think especially with that starting lineup, I think it's really suited to counter-attacking football if when you've got Nonto, Ruter, Somerville, Gray sort of as your four breaking. I think that as a front four really well suited that Firpo as well.
That's why there's a lot of people, I disagree with them, but there's a lot of people that I've heard say if we were to get there that they'd rather face Southampton than West Brom in the final. And that's one of their reasons they think that Corbran will set up and not let us do that, whereas against Southampton you might be able to do that. Whereas I just think Southampton have got better players than West Brom, so I'd rather play West Brom.
Yeah.
But and I say I'm only about 50.03% confident that we go through. I objectively know after a 0-0 draw at Norwich that we are the favourites. So I have to be more than 50% confident. But I'm
just a shade more.
Yeah, like I can't be. I'm certainly not as aggressive as 51%. So I haven't heard back from Alex with his score prediction, but Connie just messaged me. He's got us for a 1-0 win. I've got 0-0 draw because I always go for what's going to be the most painful, and penalties is the most painful.
I'm going to go 2-0 win. I think we get like a 94th minute second goal on the counter-attack when they've shoved everyone forward.
So you're fancying Dan James to come off the bench and get the second?
Yeah, inside, maybe around the halfway line again.
Yeah. I think that it'll be... I think the second half will be interesting because I think if Leeds don't get an early goal, we're the home team, the onus will be on us to be the one that really starts going for it. And I think that's when it could become a very playoffs game. Mm. Where all the neutrals are like, this is amazing, and we're like, oh God, I hate this so much. But yeah, that will do us for episode 269. We've quickly flown through. We knew that this wouldn't be a long one because we've already sort of...
You've got a rough idea how Norwich are going to set up again.
Well, I mean, we talked about their squad last time and who's good, who isn't. Like, John Rowe will be a danger. And Rowe against Firpo is always worrying, despite the fact Firpo did well. All of those things are still true. But you've just got to hope that we can stand up to it. I've put as the title for this, because I do a title and then I just see where we end up. I don't actually go back and make it fit. But I've put, can Leeds handle a spotlight game, as Farker calls them?
Yeah.
And that's my reason for not being particularly confident. If it was just played in a vacuum and it was just which team is a better football team, I do think it's us. But, like, we were unbeaten at home all season, and then when the pressure was on, we drew one and lost two.
Yeah, I think I'd like to think the one thing you can kind of take solace from is that Sunday was also a spotlight game.
I think we've
responded to our form in the last few weeks in a much better way. I think there's a lot they can take from that game. Just kind of going back to the Borough game we got four, we scored four, but defensively we were still shaky. There were still issues with gaps in midfield. We looked back to our defensive solidity that we've seen for most of the season. I think you said last time, obviously, Melier won. Was he joint most clean sheets?
They won the Golden Glove. He did have the man.
He won the Golden Glove. attract, because I think it was the way they phrased it. I think there is a was there another team that had as many clean sheets as us, but not an individual goalkeeper or something like that.
That may well be the case. I honestly can't remember what other teams did.
But yeah, like you had a game where Ampadu and Roden dealt with everything that they had to do. Gruev was kind of back to his usual self of just sitting deep, sweeping up and making sure nothing really bothered them. The fullbacks did their jobs fine. You know, it was just back to being a good, solid team again.
Yeah. And that's what we can hope with. I'm hoping that Smudger in the comments is right. He said, with the fans at Elm Road, I can see a 3-0 win. I hope you're right, mate. I really hope you're right. But that will do us for episode 269. We will be back.
No, we won't.
Generally speaking, your work schedule is okay on a Friday, isn't it? So we might well be. So we'll probably be back Friday.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah. I've been Jack. See ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.